This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم 21 من شهر ربيع الأول 1443 الموافق ل 28 من شهر أكتوبر 2021 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويرفع درجة المؤلف في العليين. So today, inshallah, we will continue from the saying of the مؤلف. ومن هذا الشرك القدرية. So the Sheikh is talking about the second type of shirk where a person, you know, جعل مع الله إلها آخر ولم يبطل أسماءه وصفاته وربوبيته كشرك النصارى. You know, this one they agree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists and he's alone and he's this and that by word. But at the same time, they attributed partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says it is part of this also the shirk of al-majus. You know, majus, we know who they are. And also the shirk of al-qadariya. Al-qadariya, these are those who believes in the qadr in the wrong way. These are part of the Mu'tazila, Al-Mu'tazila Al-Qadariya. The opposite and the contrary to these people, they are the Jabariya. You have Al-Qadariya, you have Jabariya. And subhanAllah, one of the useless talks you can ever hear about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his knowledge is this belief of the Qadariya. Jabariya believes that we have no control over our actions. That's Jabariya. Al-Jabariya, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pushing us and forcing us to do what he wants even if we don't want. You get it? And now I have people in my class, Sister Burni, Sister Nurlila, Ahmad, Aisha, you know, Khalila, and the rest, and Sheikh Abdurrahman, and whoever. I did not see those people who are behind the screen. According to Jabariya, each and every one of you found himself in this class by force. You did not want to come by yourself, you just see yourself in the class. That's Jabariya's belief, you know. You know, this is actually against even the aqidah of atfal, you know. Atfal, tifl will tell you, you know, it doesn't work like that. I come by myself. So the one who drinks wine shouldn't have an issue, you know. The one who drinks, the one who worships idol shouldn't have an issue. Why is that? Because they don't have control over themselves. Allah SWT is controlling everything. They said they are just like a risha fil hawa. You know the piece of the feather of the bird that is flying in the air. They say we are just like that. We do not have option, you know, and choice in whatever we do it. That's the Jabariya, you know, subhanAllah. That's Jabariya. This is against the common sense. Because nobody amongst you, you know, feels or believes that somebody is pushing him and forcing him to do what he is doing. And the choice you are making, these are absolutely your own choice. And as I always say, if you're going to take this aqidah, imagine what is going to happen on earth. You know, look at the Christian community, you know, where they adopt Christianity as their religion in the wrong way. And we don't even believe that there is something called Christianity, but let's assume that there is something called Christianity. Assumption, you know. We don't believe that it does exist because Allah never sent a religion called Christianity or Judaism or any other ism except Islam. But let's just assume that there is something, you know. Imagine if people accept that faith, what will happen? Crimes are going to be rampant. Why is that? Because everyone believes that somebody is there standing for him. Whatever I do in this life, somebody is there to stand for me. You're not going to get into trouble because somebody died because of your sins. You know, that's an atonement of the sins and the expiation, you know. You don't need to worry so much because Isa alayhi salam, according to them, died. You know, we don't even believe that he's dead, he's still alive. But according to them, so that translates why the rate of the crimes and his behavior, you know, is at the increase in those places. Imagine if we accept the Jabariya concept, that nobody has a control. Then, if somebody steals, he will tell us that this is not my fault. If somebody drinks wine, this is not my fault. The one who raped, the one who accused, the one who attacked, the one who does all of those stupidities, you know, they can simply tell us that we are not involved. We don't know what happened, we just found ourselves doing these things, you know. I just want you to feel how evil is this aqidah, you know. So this is a very wrong aqidah that goes against the essence of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which talks about responsibility. You are responsible for your action, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, giving us at the same time full right to choose what we want and to stay away from that which we don't want. And we are responsible for our own actions, you know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us about what we did, you know. So that's Jabariya. On the contrary, you have the Qadariya. These are the people that we are supposed to be discussing here. Those guys say that no, you are responsible of everything. And actually, according to the Qadariya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not know, subhanAllah. That's kufr. If somebody believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have knowledge, that's kufr. So they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even know what we are doing, you know, until the time we do it. Yeah, you go to school, according to Qadari, Allah did not know that you are going to choose to go to school until the time He sees you going to school, then He knows that, yeah, this is what this person is planning to do. So, can see how useless, you know, is this statement, you know, subhanAllah. I don't know, how did Shaitan manage to deceive them to put in their brain this thought, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is qasir, is deficient. There are things which are hidden from the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He never knows them until the time it happens, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will know that they are taking place. You know. So these are the Qadariya. They believe that the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deficient, and He doesn't know what we are doing, and we are responsible for all of our actions, and there is nothing which is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time is part of our action. So it means Allah created us, but He did not create our action. We are the creators of our actions, according to the Qadariya. We are the creators of our actions, according to the Qadariya. That's why Ibn Qayyim says, وَمِنْ هَذَا شِرْكُ الْقَدَرِيَةُ قَائِلِينَ بِأَنَّ الْحَيْوَانَ هُوَ الَّذِي يَخْلُقُ أَفْعَالَ نَفْسِهِ. They said an animal or human being or creation, they are the one who are creating their own actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create that. وَأَنَّهَا تَحْدُثُ بِدُونِ مَشِيئَةِ اللَّهِ وَقُدْرَتِهِ وَإِرَادَتِهِ. And subhanAllah, they say all of these activities that we are doing, they happens without any mashia from Allah, any qudra from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has no power, no ability over them. We are the one who initiated those activities without His knowledge. And He doesn't want them to happen, you know. You know, subhanAllah, that's what they believe in, you know. Even the Bedouin doesn't believe in that. Al-Hanafi quoted an event whereby a Bedouin came and he found one of the scholars of the Qadariya. And he told him, Sheikh, I lost my camel, somebody stole it. Please, since you are a Sheikh, ask Allah to get it back. Ask Allah for me to get it back. You know, subhanAllah. So the Sheikh said, Allahumma, look at this dua, you know. He said, Allahumma. He said, Ya Allah, you did not want look at this evildoer. He said, Ya Allah, you did not want this camel to be stolen. You did not want this camel to be stolen. But it was stolen by somebody. Ya Allah, bring it back. The Bedouin said, wait a minute, what are you saying? You mean he did not want it to be stolen and then somebody stole it? He said, yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want it to be stolen. He said, somebody stole it and he doesn't like that. And somebody stole it. He said, yes. The Bedouin says, no, if this is the case, then I don't want this. He said, why? He said, because since he couldn't have the power to stop the theft from taking place, I am afraid he might want the camel to be brought, and that guy who stole it has the power over him. He will not bring it. So it's better for me to go and look for a way out by myself. He said, since at the first place he doesn't want it to be stolen, but it got stolen. Now he might want it to be returned, and it will not be returned. So I don't want that. Subhanallah. That's absolutely perfect reply to that person. You know, from who? From a Bedouin. Somebody who is not an educated person, but he lives within his common sense. He knows that, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like that. This is not Allah. There is no way for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not want something, and at the same time you see the thing happening, wallahi, it would never happen. There is no way for the thing to happen. If Allah doesn't want it to happen, there is no way for it to happen. You know. To have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that, I don't want this to happen, and then somebody will come and bring it, that's a joke. Allah, that's a joke. Actually, that's. I think you have to look for some other words, you know. Even in the realm of jokes, I think this one will not exist. But shaitan deceived the Qadiriyah. They believe in that. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have any connection to our own actions. We are the one who are creating everything. And they are trying to protect one of the principles which they brought and misunderstood it. One of these principles they brought is justice, al-adl. You know, al-adl. What does adl mean? Adl means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never oppress anyone. So they say, if we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is creating our own action, but then at the end of the day he punished us because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our actions, and then at the end of the day he punished us for doing those actions, they said this is unfair and this is injustice. And that's why we have to say that a slave is the one who is creating his own action. We have to say that a slave is the one who is creating his own action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have connection to that. So Allah told him, don't drink wine. If you went and drink wine, he is the one who created the drinking of the wine and created the ability and created everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not involved. And as such, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can punish him for that. That's the Qadariyah. The Prophet said, and these are one of the earliest groups that exist in Islam, you know, in the time of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's actually the reason why the hadith, the second hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, in Arba'un Nawiyah exists, that hadith of Jibreel, the long one. Some people came from Sham and they're looking for a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask him about the existence of the Qadariyah, those people who say la qadr wal amr unuf. You know, what does that mean? They mean there is no qadr, everything is initiated and is new to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is new to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we're doing is new to Allah. Allah doesn't know it. So Abdullah ibn Umar told them that you have to go and tell them that I have disconnected myself from them. They are not from me and I'm not from them. And they cannot have the true faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless if they believe in the qadr. And this is one of the causes and the evil consequences of studying the falsafa, going deep in the falsafa. Up to date, I'm telling you, those falsafa, those Muslims who study this so much, you will find them, they are the easiest people to go against the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the nusus of the Quran. Everything has to fit their own uqul according to them, you know. You find the vast majority or everyone believing in something, but a philosopher will tell you no. Because his akal doesn't go like that. And all of these things are taken from who? From the Yunnan, the Greece or the Greek, you know. These are the things that we transferred into our own community. And we started putting them in the wrong way. So Muslims should be very careful, very, very careful, very, very careful. That's what Imam Al-Dhahabi was saying, that this is the knowledge that al-jahalu bihi awla, and ignorance in it is greater than knowing it. Many people get deeper in it, some of them lost their religion completely. They lost their religion completely, you know. We do have people who will criticize Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will tell you, yeah, we take from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If what he says, it makes sense, you know. He's a philosopher, you know. Among us, you know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and them, you know. So he says, وَمِنْ هَذَا شِرْكُ الْقَدَرِيَّ وَلِهَذَا كَانُوا أَشْبَاهَ الْمَجُوسِ. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said they are like the Majus. In the hadith he says, Al-Qadariyatu Majusu hadhihi al-Ummah. Qadariyah, they are the Majus of this Ummah. Al-Qadariyatu Majusu hadhihi al-Ummah. Qadariyah, they are the Majus of this Ummah. You know the Majus, they worship two ilah. Ilahul Nur and Ilahul Dhulma. The ilah for the light and the ilah for the darkness. And you have the Qadariyah also, they have two ilah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a creation, because they say we also create our own actions. So they believe that there are two creators, you know. There are two creators among them. وَمِنْ هَذَا الشِّرْكُ الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّي الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ قَالَ أَنَا أُحْيِي وَأُمِيتُ. He said it's also part of it, the shirk of that person who was debating with Ibrahim concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his existence. You know, so that person, whether he's Namrud or whoever that person might be, you know, so he says, Rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumit qala ana yuhyi wa yumit. You know, he said he can give life to people and he can give death to people, you know. And subhanAllah, according to the history, they said he brought two people amongst the prisoners, you know. He killed one of them, and he told Ibrahim, you can see, I killed this one. And he told the other one, you can go. SubhanAllah. So Ibrahim realized that he's dealing with a very silly and stupid person. If he keeps on debating with him, he will go and keep on committing these tragedies, you know, and injustice against others. So Ibrahim uses another evidence to stop him from making a move. فَهَذَا جَعْلَ نَفْسَهُ نِدَّ لِلَّهِ. So that guy says he is also نِدُّ لِلَّهِ عَزَّوْجَ. He is also like Allah. He said he is Allah, he also create. You know, in the way Allah created, he said he also can create, he also can kill, he also can do this and that. He also can kill, he also can cause somebody to live. Yuhi wa yumitu bizamihi. So he made himself as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gives life and also gives death. Kama yuhi Allahu wa yumit. Just like the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls a person to live and also others to die. فَأَلْزَمَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ أَنَّ طَرْدَ قَوْلِهِ أَنْ يَقَدِّرَ عَلَى الْإِتْيَانِ بِالشَّمْسِ مِنْ غَيْرِ الْجَهَةِ الَّتِي يَأْتِي بِهَا اللَّهُ. If he says this, then khalas. Let him do his own thing, you know. That one that he did also is not like Allah's one. It's absolutely different, you know. There is no room of comparison, actually. But Ibrahim, just leave him with his own faith and tell him indirectly, but if this is the case, then you should be able to do the opposite of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing. For instance, he brought the sun from the west. The east. You should bring yours from the west. Yeah, when you say you can give life and death, then you should have the ability to bring the sun. That's much easier, actually, to bring the sun from the west. Allah is bringing it from the east, so bring yours from the west. Allah says, فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. SubhanAllah. That was the thing that quieted him. He lost the debate. He was so embarrassed, you know, and disappointed because he can't. What can he do, you know, in that? Even if he's going to use shayateen, what can he do? They can't debate with Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know. They know that. So nobody was there to support him. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُنْتَصِرِينَ. So, So Ibrahim told him that, do that for us, to confirm that you also have the capacity in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. وليس هذا انتقالا كما زعم بعض أهل الجدل بل إلزاما على طرد الدليل إن كان حقا. This is not moving from, I mean, it's not like, okay, yeah, you win in this, let's move to another thing. It's not about that. There are some people who are amongst those people who are very particular and concerned with the jadal, you know, and mantik and kalam. They said, no, this is intiqal. It's like, okay, we close this one and we move to another thing. He says, no, this is ilzam. Ibrahim is just trying to tell him that, yeah, if this is the case, then you must have the ability to do this also. If you can do this, then you must have the ability to do this also. If you believe that this is correct, yeah, so then do this. ومن هذا الشرك كثير ممن يشرك بالله. And these type of people, subhanAllah, if you take the history, you know, how did he die? Mosquito, you know, dhubab, you know, something bit him. That small, tiny creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was capable of taking off his life. What happened to the divinity? What happened to the power? What happened to the ability? What happened to an uhi wa umit, you know? Why can't he give his, I mean, life to himself and stop the death from approaching him? ومن هذا الشرك كثير ممن يشرك بالكواكب الألوهيات ويجعلها أربابا مدبرة لأمر هذا العالم كما هو مذهب مشركي الصابئة وغيرهم. ومن هذا الشرك عباد الشمس وعباد النار وغيرهم. He says this is, it is also part of this shirk, the shirk of those people who believe in the kawakib to be those one who are controlling the affairs of the creation down there. They said the kawakib, that you see, each and every one of them has his own capacity to control what we do in there, here on earth. The rain comes, you know, existence of things, birth to the people, you know, all of these things that used to be the cultural practice of the jahiliyyah. You get an idea, which is also taken, you know, by the magician, the fortune tellers, you know. They all use these type of things to detect what will happen in the future, supported by the devils, of course, when they go and steal the information from their heavens. And also, it is also part of the faith of the firqa as-sabi'ah. As-sabi'ah, this is one of the controversial matters among the scholars who are actually sabi'ah, at this sabi'ah, who are actually sabi'ah. So you have so many views. Some of them said these are the people of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And up to date also we have Diyana, As-Sabi al-Mindaiya in Iraq, you know, they exist. They have a religion. You see them, you see a person, mashallah, their sheikh is like the Muslimin, you know, the beard, the turban, you know. And they have also water like a Christian, you know, they go and do this washing themselves, you know. Christian, I think they did it once in life or once in a year. Okay, who cares? But these ones, they did it, I think, every day or every week, weekly. They go and the sheikh will wash you, you know. They have different types of prayers, you know. They pray differently. They have different wudu also. And they claim that they are following Yahya ibn Zakariya. They are not following. They are following Yahya ibn Zakariya. You have Sabia in this. You have some people who say these are the people who worship in Malaika. You know. So the point is, Wallahu Alam, it looks like Ibn Qayyim is referring to those people who are, in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, those people who are dealing with the kawakib, you know, worshiping the kawakib. Okay. وَمِنْ هَذَا شِرْكُ عُبَّادِ الشَّمْسِ وَعُبَّادِ النَّارِ. And also you have some also who are worshiping the shams and worshiping the fire. You know, you have عُبَّادِ الشَّمْسِ وَعُبَّادِ النَّارِ. Yeah. ومن هؤلاء من يزعم أن معبوده هو الإله على الحقيقة ومنهم من يزعم أنه أكبر من الإله. You have some people who will tell you that his object of worship is the one that should be worshipped, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have some of them will say, no, he is the greatest of the Aliha. The one that he is worshipping is bigger than any Ilah. ومنهم من يزعم أنه إله من جملة الآلهة. Some of them will say, no, I don't claim that. That mine is the biggest, but is one of them, one of those who should be worshipped. وَأَنَّهُ إِذَا خَصَّهُ بِعِبَادَتِي وَالتَّبَتُّلَ إِلَيْهِ وَالْإِنْقِطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ أَقْبَلَ عَلَيْهِ وَأَتَنَا بِهِ. And also they believe that if they worship those objects alone, you know, they humiliated themselves to them, you know, they humbled themselves to them, they will take care of them. You know, that idols will be taking care of them.
ومنهم من يزعم أن معبوده الأدنى يقربه إلى المعبود الذي هو فوقه.
And some of them will tell you that, no, the one that we're worshiping now on earth, his job is to bring us closer to the one on top. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or whatever they believe to be on top.
وَالْفَوْقَانِهِ يُقَرِّبُهُ إِلَى الَّذِي فَوْقَهُ.
So they have darajat, you know. He worshipped this one, but even that will take him to the one in the next stage, and the next stage, and the one will take it to the next.
حَتَّى تُقَرِّبَهُ تِلْكَ الْآلِهَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى.
Until the time they bring him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فَتَارَةً تَكْثُرُ الْآلِهَةُ وَالْوَسَائِتُ وَتَارَةً تَقِلُ.
So sometimes you find so many people in between, you know, so many objects in between, and sometimes you find only little among those idols. They put them between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and themselves. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salam wa ta'ala afiyah.
قال فصل وأما الشرك في العبادة فهو أسهل من هذا الشرك.
So this one is very important, you know, that the first one, inshallah, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many of us are away from it, but this one that Ibn al-Qayyim will be talking about, this is the most dangerous one, the most dangerous one.
قال وأما الشرك في العبادة فهو أسهل من هذا.
As for the shirk in the ibadah, this is much easier than the first one.
وأخف أمراً,
and more hidden than the first one. Because the first one is very obvious. It's very difficult for a person to hide the shirk of the first type. But the second one, no. That one sometimes happens without the proper realization of its existence by the one who is doing.
فَإِنَّهُ يَصْدُرُ مِمَّنْ يَعْتَقِدْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ.
Because usually it happens from somebody who believes that there is none to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَأَنَّهُ لَا يَضُرُ وَلَا يَنْفَعُ وَلَا يُعْطِي وَلَا يَمْنَعُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ.
And also who believe that nobody benefits, nobody harm, nobody harm, nobody benefits, nobody gives, nobody, stops somebody from reaching, from getting something except Allah.
وَأَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُ.
And there is none to be worshipped except Allah.
وَلَا رَبَّ سِوَى.
No creator, no controller except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَلَكِنْ لَا يَخُصُّ اللَّهَ فِي مُعَامَلَةِ عُبُودَتِي.
So this shirk happens from somebody who believes in all of these things, you know. He believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this. But his problem is, when it comes to how to deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is where the problem lies. He associates partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَلَكِنْ لَا يَخُصُّ اللَّهَ فِي مُعَامَلَةِ عُبُودَتِهِ بَلْ يَعْمَلُ لِحَظِّ نَفْسِهِ تَارَةً وَلِطَلَبِ الدُّنْيَا تَارَةً.
So he works for the sake of his own benefit sometimes, and sometimes also for the sake of the dunya.
وَلِطَلَبِ الرِّفْعَةِ وَالْمَنْزِلَةِ وَالْجَاهِ.
And sometimes he does it because he wants to have high position, you know. And he wants to be respected, you know, عِنْدَ الْخَلْقِ تَارَةً, you know. He wants to be respected by the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فَلِلَّهِ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ وَسَعِهِ نَصِيبٌ وَلِنَفْسِهِ وَحَظِّهِ وَهَوَاهُ نَصِيبٌ.
So you see, this person, when he associates partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his dealings, in his mu'amala, Ibn al-Qayyim says, you will find him in that action, he's given Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala some portion of his action, and some portion to satisfy his own desire and his interests. And sometimes shaitan also takes some portion, and sometimes the other creation will take the portion. So he is, you know, how many partners he has to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Three. He is doing it for the sake of Allah, and also his own dunya interests, and also to please, others, which shaitan will be happy with that. Subhanallah.
وَهَذَا حَالُ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ.
Ibn al-Qayyim says this is the situation of and the status of the vast majority of the people.
وَهُوَ الشِّرْكُ الَّذِي قَالَ فِيهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ.
And this is the shirk that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has said about it.
فِي مَا رَوَاهُ ابْنُ حِبَّانَ.
In the narration of Ibn Hibban, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الشرك في هذه الأمة أخفى من دبيب النملة. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the shirk in this ummah is more hidden than the dabib al-namla, the creeping and the walking of a namla. Namla is a ant. Did you ever hear the sound of the ant moving? Except in the cartoon, maybe. It does have the sound, but we don't hear it because it's so small, you know. It's so small insect. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith, he says, أخفى من دبيب النملة. It's more hidden than the movement of the namla. قالوا كيف ننجو منه يا رسول الله. They said, Ya Rasulullah, then how can we protect ourselves from this shirk then, if this is the case? قالوا كيف ننجو منه يا رسول الله. They said, how can we protect ourselves from this shirk, if this is the case? قال قول اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أشرك بك وأن أعلم وأستغفرك لما لا أعلم. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should say, Ya Allah, I seek refuge with you, Ya Allah, protect me from committing shirk, you know, associate partner with you, wa ana a'lam, while I know what I'm doing, out of knowledge, you know, I know that I shouldn't do this, but I do it. Wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam, and Ya Allah, I ask you to forgive me, you know, for the things I have done which I do not know that I shouldn't do them. So any shirk which I did out of knowledge, Ya Allah, protect me from being involved in committing shirk out of knowledge. And also, Ya Allah, protect me from doing a shirk out of ignorance. And those things that I did without knowing, Ya Allah, forgive me those things. It's a very good dua, but the hadith has a lot of questions on it. If you look at it, then the scholar said this narration is weak. Although some scholars said it has shahid, you know, another statement, you know, and other hadith that can strengthen, you know, this one to make it stronger. The meaning is correct, you know, even if you don't accept the authenticity of the hadith, but the meaning is correct. قال فالرياء كله شرك كما قال تعالى رياء is shirk. In all of its forms is shirk. كما قال تعالى, just like what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tell them, إنما أنا بشر مثلكم. I am none other than the bashar. Bashar means human being. مثلكم, like you. يوحى إلي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing to me the wahy. So the difference between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the rest of the creation is that he receives wahy, and the rest of the creation are not receiving the wahy from Allah. And that's the biggest difference, you know, very big difference. You cannot reach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that regard. And he has other specialties also, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him the leadership of the Ulul Azm. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen him to be among the best of the best, those five messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who nobody is better than them. So Allah says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ. So this is a refutation against anyone who believes that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a human being. During these days, you know, when people are having their own events, you know, about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I hear a lot of approaches. You know, somebody attended an event, you know, he found a speaker was saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a human being. And I don't know how does he translate this ayah, Allahu alam. And he says he's not a human being. He's not an angel. He's not a jinn. He's not an animal. He's not a wind. He's not a tree. He's not this. You know, he mentioned anything in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing that left he did not mention is the creator. So what is he saying? He doesn't have the courage and the guts to say that he is Allah. He just kept quiet at that moment. You know. So these are ghulu. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he says, لَا تَطْرُنِي كَمَا أَطَرَتِ النَّصَارَ عَيْسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ فَقُولُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. He said, do not exaggerate when you're praising me, just like the way the Nasara did. He should always say that I am the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. A poet says, he says, "Zin al-qawla in hawalta marham Muhammadin, ففي كل قول مستحيل وجائز. Is there always way the statement you are saying whenever you want to praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, weigh it first, because not everything is correct, you know. Yeah, we take it in the positive way. He meant not everything is correct. You can't attribute everything to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there are some qualities which are not his. You know, there are some qualities which are not his. So weigh the statement first before you say it. Does it fit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or you are taking this, the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving it to somebody else? You know, if somebody tells you that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one who is giving the dunya and the akhirah, I don't know what do they mean, as if these people never studied the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also, it's one of his knowledge, you know, some part of his knowledge is the knowledge of the lawh al-mahfuz wal-qalam, and the pen itself. Whatever the pen has, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also has. What kind of faith is this, you know? What kind of belief is this? I believe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he's there, he will definitely fight them. But anyway, so exaggeration when it comes to praising Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is really wrong, because sometimes you might take him to the divinity. Somebody says, "Masha'Allah wa shi'it," the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got angry. You know, in the kul masha'Allah faqat, I was going to say, when Allah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish, you know, faqat only, or keep quiet. They said, we are seeking Allah's intercession from you, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got angry with them. He said, "Atadri man Allah? Atadri man Allah? You know who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is interceding, you know, from me? You know who is Allah?" So the leader of the Muwahideen was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never accept anyone to put him in the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He always fight those ones and fix them, you know. Whenever he sees somebody who is tilting and going against the Tawheed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fixed it. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Your Lord is alone. The one that you worship is alone, and he has no partner at all. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Whoever believes and whoever hopes, you know, to have a clear and an excellent meeting between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should he should always make sure that he does al-amal salih. What is amal salih? The action which is based on the tawheed, ikhlas, you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and also according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And he doesn't associate partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not associate partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayah, I really urge you to study it properly and to remember it every single moment of your life. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based the success in the life of any one of us on these two things. You know, ikhlas or mutaba'at al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ikhlas or mutaba'at, you know. This ayah, everyone should know it. You know, you cannot succeed unless if you have this ikhlas with you, and also mutaba'at to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أي كما أنه إله واحد لا إله سواه فكذلك ينبغي أن يكون أن تكون العبادة له وحده. Just like the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one to be worshipped, this is the meaning of ilah. And also, he should be the only one everyone is worshipping. By the name ilah, ilah means al-ma'budu bihaq. So it means it is necessary for every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make sure that they don't associate partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tafarrad bil uluhiyya, the divinity is his, and as such, ibadah also should be his alone. قَالَ فَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ هُوَ الْخَالِي مِنَ الرِّيَاءِ الْمُقَيَّدُ مِنَ الرِّيَاءِ مُقَيَّدُ بِالسُّنَّةِ. So he says, الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ هُوَ الْخَالِي مِنَ الرِّيَاءِ وَالْمُقَيَّدُ بِالسُّنَّةِ. He says, الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ, this is the action that is away from the riya, you know, and also which is restricted to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you do something, you know, but you don't have the ikhlas in it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will throw it away. Allah will never take it from you. If you do something, you have the ikhlas, But you do it in your own way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will throw it away. So you must make sure that you don't associate partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of your actions, and also in your mutaba'a lil Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should make sure that you don't associate partner with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that regard. It means you follow alone Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the methodology of how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what some scholars call Tawheed al-Hakimiyyah. You get the idea? Al-Hukumu lillahi, Tawheed al-Risala. No, not Tawheed al-Hakimiyyah. Tawheed al-Risala. Tawheed al-Risala means you believe that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and the final one, and there is nobody with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that regard. Until the day of judgment, nobody will come with different thing. Even Isa alayhi salam, when he comes, he's not going to come with a different Sharia. Isa alayhi salam is going to come to us to apply the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وكان من دعاء عمر بن الخطاب اللهم اجعل عملي كله صالحا واجعله لوجهك خالصا ولا تجعل لأحد فيه شيئا. And it's part of the dua that Umar usually say. He used to say, Allahumma ja'al amali kullahu salih. Ya Allah, make my deed, you know, all of my deed as al-amal salih. Al-amal salih is the one that fulfills these two conditions, al-ikhlas wal-mutaba'ah. Okay? Yeah, doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam precisely in it. وَجَعَلُهُ لِوَجْهِكَ خَالِصًا. And ya Allah, make whatever I am doing خَالِصًا لِوَجْهِكَ, for you alone. وَلَا تَجَعَلْ لِأَحَدٍ فِيهِ شَيْءًا. And ya Allah, do not let anyone to take any portion of it. Ya Allah, make all of my deeds to please you and make them for your sake alone. And do not let anyone take any portion in it. وَهَذَا الشِّرْكُ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ يُبْطِلُ ثَوَابَ الْعَمَلِ وَقَدْ يُعَاقَبُ عَلَيْهِ إِنْ كَانَ الْعَمَلُ وَاجِبًا. Ibn al-Qayyim says, this type of shirk destroys the righteous deed of a person. Whatever you do it, I'm sorry, I'm calling it righteous deed, it is not righteous, destroys the deed of a person. Whatever you do and you do not fulfill the condition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy it alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want it. Allah doesn't want it from you. وَقَدْ يُعَاقَبُ عَلَيْهِ إِنْ كَانَ وَاجِبًا. A person might be punished also by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if that action is wajib, because it will be something which is rejected by Allah, and as such you do not fulfill the need and the requirement. فَإِنَّهُ يَنْزِلُهُ مَنْزِلَةَ مَنْ لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. Because if you associate partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be like somebody who did not actually observe that act. فَيُعَاقَبُ عَلَى تَرْكِ الْأَمْرِ. So that such a person will deserve the punishment because he stays away from following the commands. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى إِنَّمَا أَمَرَ بِعِبَادَتِهِ عِبَادَةً خَالِصًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to worship him a sincere worship. قَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَى. They have never been commanded to do anything except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They will be having the ikhlas for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. حُنَفَى أي مَائِلِينَ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ. You know, those people who, you know, stay away from the shirk completely. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not command us to do anything except to worship him alone without associating partner with him. And also we adopt the religion of monotheism, that's mean the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without associating any partner with him. قَالَ فَمَنْ لَمْ يُخْلِصْ لِلَّهِ فِي عِبَادَتِهِ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا أُمِرَ بِهِ. So whoever does not observe ikhlas in his ibadah, he is not following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his command. بَلِ الَّذِي أَتَى بِهِ شَيْءٌ غَيْرُ الَّذِي شَيْءٌ غَيْرَ الَّذِي أُمِرَ بِهِ. So whatever he is doing is something else other than that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to do. فَلَا يَصِحُ. And as such, it will never be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from him. وَلَا يُقُبَلُ مِنْهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take it from him. وَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I an aghna shuraka and a shirk. Aghna means I don't have any need. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to tell us that people, you know, associate partner with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that he's so rich, he doesn't need all of those things. And shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need those partners. So, فَمَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ فِيهِ مَعِيَ غَيْرِ تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَهُ فَهُوَ لِلَّذِي أُشْرِكَ بِهِ. Whoever does an act and he associate partner with me, you know, was supposed to be done for me alone, but he put along with me somebody else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَهُوَ لِلَّذِي أُشْرِكَ بِهِ. So that action will be going to that person. I don't want it at all. Subhanallah. Allah says, if he commands you to do something and you don't want to do it for him alone, and you associate partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of that doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he will leave you with the thing. Taraktu wa shirka. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am going to leave you with your shirk. Wa ana minhu bari. And I have disconnected myself from that action. This is really, really something that, you know, so I say that a person should pay attention to it, you know, and make sure that you monitor your activities, because these type of things, sometimes they take place without the knowledge of the person who is doing. You know, sometimes they happen without the knowledge of the person who is engaging in them. So a Muslim should make sure that nothing comes from you except that you monitor your action. You know what exactly you're doing to avoid falling into shirk without knowledge. Okay, so I guess this should be the best place, inshallah, to stop. If I continue with the next paragraph, I might be rushing. So let's stop here, inshallah, and take the questions, inshallah, from those people who are there. Bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Jazakumullah khairan, Shaykh.
Ameen, Abdul Rahman.
The first question is that it's then, how should you advise people that some of their cultural practices can be considered shirk, especially if they're in the family and are much older than you and have much more knowledge?
The best in this approach, Thana, is to use the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't you ever use your word. Smile, sit with them, and use the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tell them that this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Read first and let them understand it correctly. You know, after they get it correctly, and then you tell them, that's why what some people are doing should be stopped, you know, because it goes against this sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is very clear. You know, quote from them, from the sunnah, and try get from those big scholars whom they respect, you know, that interpret the hadith in the way you are interpreting it, and give it to them. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, they will listen, you know. Because if you use your own word, they will compare you with their own scholars. They will say you are very young, you know, when you don't know more than our scholars. They have already gone through this. You don't have knowledge like them. They have knowledge. No, all of these things that we have heard, you know, from those people trying to justify their wrongdoing. So use the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first. Let them understand it correctly. Some of them might be asking you, okay, then if this is the case, then what about what people are doing then? Yeah, then alhamdulillah, they make life easier for you, you know. You know, so start with this first, and then bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, adorn it with the statement of the scholars in terms of the interpretation of that hadith. You know, the scholars that you believe those people respect, you know, look into the madhab they follow. Inshallah, you will find among the scholars of that madhab some scholars, you know, who said what you believe in. You know, use that as a weapon, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, they will listen. Inshallah azza wa jal. Barakallahu feekum.
Sheikh, you mentioned an example that some of the cultural practices I spoke of that are seen in Pakistan include their amulets, ta'weed, for protection or dua, believing the dead could come back to this earth and you can speak to them and such things.
It's not only in Pakistan, Thana. Almost everywhere in the world you see this ta'weed, talisman, you know, and amulets, you know, they're all there. So alhamdulillah, this one you find straightforward hadith from the Prophet that talks about the tama'im. Man allaka tamimatan wukila ilayh, you know. Hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when he found his wife having something that she tied on her, you know, he removed it and threw it away and say, you the family of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected you from shirk, you know. So all of these things, trace them and go and get them, and then look into the interpretation of the scholars, you know, the scholars who you believe that those people that you're approaching, you know, believe in them, I mean respect them, you know, use their statement to interpret the sunnah, you know, so that they can find it easy to be accepted, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to truth and grant us tawfiq in our da'wah. Yeah.
Question by Sister Moni. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ameen wa fiikum ajma'in.
The light that a person has due to Iman, benefiting the person when crossing the Sirat?
Come again, Abraham, say it again.
The light of Iman that a person has, will it be benefiting the person when it comes to crossing the
Sirat? Yeah, the life in Iman, right?
The light of Iman, Nurul Iman.
Ah, the light of Iman. I thought he's talking about life in Iman. Yeah, this is what helps the person, you know, when it comes to the crossing of the Sirat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about this in Surah Al-Hadid. You know, وَتَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ بشراكم اليوم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها وذلك الفوز العظيم يوم يقول المنافقون والمنافقات للذين آمنوا انظرونا نقتبس من نوركم قيل ارجعوا وراءكم فالتمسوا نورا فضرب بينهم بسور له باب باطنه فيه الرحمة وظاهره من قبله العذاب ينادونهما لم نكن معكم قالوا بلى ولكنكم فتمتم أنفسكم متربصتم متبتم وغرتكم الأماني حتى جاء أمر الله وغركم بالله الغرور فاليوم لا يأخذ منكم فدية ولا من الذين كفروا مأواكم النار هي مولاكم وبئس المصير. So these ayat, you know, if you have time, check them in Surah Al-Hadid. This is the page number 3 in the Surah. If you use the normal Quran printed in Medina, that should be on the page number 3. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the believers crossing the Sirat, you know, yes, anuruhum bayna aydihim wa bi'aymanihim, you know, they have the light given to them, you know. So that's when the light of the Iman is going to be reflected and manifested, you know, on the Sirat. So the more Iman you have here, the more light you have in the hereafter. That's why the bad ones will be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be asking the good ones, you know, to share with them the light, you know. And then they would tell them, "Irji'u wara'akum faltamisu nura." You have to go back and get it, you know. You cannot get the light on the Sirat. You have to get it before the Sirat. Yeah, so they're referring to the dunya, you know. You can only get the light from this dunya. The prayer you're praying, the wudu you're making, you know. Especially the prayer. These are when the light is going to be manifested, you know. So the munafiqeen and the bad one will be asking for help. So, and the believers who replied them, "We cannot share with you the light, you know. You have to go back and get it in the way we got it, you know." So, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Fadhuriba baynahum bisuri lahu bab, batinuhu fihi rahmatu wa zahiru min qabili al-adab." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make between them a barrier, a wall. You know, from the side of the good ones, that is mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the side of the evil one, that is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Yinadunahum alam nakum ma'akum. Qalu bala walakinakum fatantum anfusakum atarabbastum wartabtum wagharratkum al-amani hatta ja'a amrullahi wagharrakum billahi al-gharur. You know, the wrongdoers and the bad ones who did not have the light, and the non-Muslims who died, you know, in kufr, you know, they will be calling them, Alam nakum ma'akum, we're with you in this, in that dunya, please help, help, help. We know you, please. They will tell them, yes, you are with us, but unfortunately you deserve yourself. Instead of focusing on that which benefits you, do not do that. And you always think that evil is going to take place in the side of the believers, you know, and you never have certainty in that which you're doing. You always have doubt in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in everything you do. And you are deceived by that ambitions and wishes, you know, of this dunya. You get totally distracted. Allah says, وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغُرُورُ. And you let shaitan deceived you, and the dunya deceived you. So today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there will be no ransom that will be taken from you. And the non-believers also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never take any ransom, you know. No way for a person to pay any compensation to ransom himself. So after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an excellent conclusion, which I really want us also, together with that ayah of Surah Al-Kahf, to understand it properly. You know, you really need to pay attention to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, isn't it the best time for the believers to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? SubhanAllah. Did you hear that, my dear brothers and sisters? He said, Allah is talking to us now. He said, isn't it the best time for you to reflect? No. You Allah, it is the best time. Because other than this time is a doubtful time. You know. Angel of death might visit you at any moment, and then it will be what? Tragedy. So Allah says, isn't it the best time for you to reflect? And taqsha qulubuhum, you know, lidhikrillah. Isn't it the best time for your heart to be humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ, and the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which He reveals of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتِي الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, isn't it the best time for you to reflect and to understand the message and to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in humility and humbleness and to have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to be like those people who received the book before us. You know, it was quite long, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the book, prophet after prophet, you know, subhanAllah, rejection after rejection. Allah says, فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. The vast majority of them are fasiqeen, you know. The heart became so rigid, so solid, you know. Cannot be, shaked by anything. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا وَجَدْنَا لِأَكْثَرِهِمْ مِّنْ عَهْدٍ وَإِنْ وَجَدْنَا أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَفَاسِقِينَ. In Surah Al-Araf, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about the prophets and he made that excellent conclusion, he says, تِلْكَ الْقُرَانُ قُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَائِهَا وَلَقَدْ جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَمَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا بِمَا كَذَّبُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ كَذَلِكَ يَطْبَعُ اللَّهُ عَلَى قُلُوبِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَمَا وَجَدْنَا لِأَكْثَرِهِمْ مِنْ عَهْدٍ وَإِنْ وَجَدْنَا أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَفَاسِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we did not find the vast majority of them, you know, to be those people who are keeping that promise between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to worship Him alone and to have the clear acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ وَجَدْنَا أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَفَاسِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we definitely found those people who are before them to be among the fasiqeen. The vast majority of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا وَجَدْنَاهُمْ إِلَّا فَاسِقِينَ. We do not find them except in the state of fisk. And that's also a message to each and every one of us who believes that the truth is supposed to be discovered by the amount of the people following it. No, the truth is not discovered by how many people are following. The truth is supposed to be discovered by how much it is based on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the revelation in general. So that's a very important question, Sister Murni. We will be given the light based on our own iman when we are crossing the sirat. And as such, a person should make a right decision to always be at a stage of increase, you know, a state of increase in this light, you know. Always try your best to make sure that you are increasing the light, you know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. and tawfiq in life. Barakallahu feekum. Yes, Abdul Rahman.
A person's risk has already been written. When one does actions that increase it, just giving charity, does it prove the amount of that person's risk that has already been written, or does it put the barakah?
Both, Uzair. Both. The barakah and the physical increase also. But the one that is taking place right now is already written also. That one also is written. 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote that Uzair is going to be kind, you know, to his parents, and as such, you know, I'm just giving an example, inshallah, it is like that, bismillah. For instance, Uzair is going to be kind to his parent, and as such, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases his risk from this amount to the other amount. So both are written, the first amount, the second amount at the same time. So when the qadr takes place, the second qadr will take place, not the first one. To get an idea. If you look at it as a cause, the causes for the increase is your righteous deed. To get an idea. But if you look at it as far as qadr is concerned and writing is concerned, they are written at the first place. That at first you are supposed to get only one ringgit, but now you get billions of ringgit because of your kindness to your parent. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you that person and all of us. And of course, barakah also will take place in the risk, inshallah.
Another question is, nowadays, there are movements in the West to boycott big companies that produce chocolate, as they claim it involves child slavery, where children in Africa are forced to farm cocoa. What should a Muslim stance be on this?
Eat whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make halal for you. Eat whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make halal for you. This is what I will say. Anything that is halal, just eat. But if you have the command from the government, that let's say in Malaysia here, the government asks us to boycott something which is harmful to the Muslim, somebody misbehaved towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or towards Islam, and the government is taking initiative, then we follow that one. You know, other than that, you take what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes halal for you.
Is it possible that, for example, we can raise campaigns just to raise awareness that no, this should not be done?
Yeah, we can talk about, instead of boycotting the thing, we can talk about how things should be done, you know. Address those government. Those people, they know what to do, you know. They know who is doing what. They can go and force them to stop doing the injustice, but they don't. You know, let them go and do the right thing, you know. Stop them from committing the injustice against others. And also these type of things, you have to study them and see, is it really true that it's taking place, you know? And where is it happening, you know? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. But if, let's say, this is what is necessary for you to stop the injustice against somebody, you know, we have to check first and see, is it really, really happening in that way? In the way it is alarming, you know, people are forced and they're not paid, you know. If this is the truth, that's slavery, yeah. It's good to boycott those things so that they will stop doing, if that boycott will have an impact.
I had a question about this one, a follow-up question.
Okay.
There is some countries, recently these countries' products were boycotted, but then every other product is, you know, supplied by this country, and some of these products are our daily necessities, and we use them on a daily basis. So I was having this conversation with a few people, and then I told them that if you want to boycott them, boycott to the extent where it's possible for you. And your necessities, you just take them. And if you find an alternative for that from a Muslim seller or Muslim brand, then go for them, but and you don't completely boycott them and just tell everyone.
Kill yourself also. Yeah, this is the problem of the Muslims, because we depended too much on them, you know. That's why sometimes it doesn't work. It's just like a conference they said in Sudan. Yeah, that somebody was not, I did not watch, but somebody said there was a conference in Sudan about boycotting the Western products, you know, and things, you know. And then the presenters of the papers, the lecturers, you know, each and every one of them in front of him, you see nothing but Coca-Cola and... So somebody says, what exactly are we doing, you know? So he said, at least you bring the traditional Sudanese drink, Karkade, and you know, those ones of Raman, you know. Yeah, at least you brought those traditional drinks, you put, you know. You know, from the beginning of the, in the place of the conference, they show that, yes, we can't, you know. So a person should do whatever he can do. Let's say you need to buy something. You know, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, when you reach the case of need, the situation of need, you know, even the things that are haram, you can take. But this one, they are not haram initially. They get the idea. So when somebody is in need of something, these are the basic need and necessities, a person should go for them. Extra amount, or if he can find an alternative, then he goes for the alternative, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. That's why Ibn Uthaymeen, when he was asked about the boycott, he says, "Kul ma ahallahu Allahu lak." Because in most instances, it's not effective. And there are some where when it happens, it really affects them. And they really got in trouble. Like what we have heard about the one, that, this Qasim who criticized the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, I don't want to dirty my tongue mentioning his name, or allow the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, allow the criticism against Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his own place. They said it really affects the country so much, you know. That's why they talk directly and indirectly that Muslims should think, you know. And alhamdulillah, until now, you know, if you follow the news, you can see their country is not stable. SubhanAllah, one of the most hated entities on earth is him. Wherever he goes, his own people are throwing, you know, shoes and eggs on him. You know, when he throws shoes on a person, that's the peak of disrespect, you know. Up to recently also, I think somebody threw the egg on him. If he doesn't repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the early things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him before he meets him. You know. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide him. Allah guide him. Let us see the time he will convert to Islam, he and the whole country, inshallah. Allah grant us good. Yes, Abu Rahman.
Sister, that I added a point to this, sometimes when these companies, they have their branches in Muslim world, and then people start boycotting them, the Muslims in those countries which are working with this company or are associated with these companies, they also
get affected. Yeah. Now, when it is necessary to go for that thana, we just apologize to those people who are working. They also should actually participate in demonstrating and protesting against the company. The company is going to reflect. If, let's say, they just sacrifice some of their salaries, you know, although they face some difficulties, but they do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it takes actually a few hours, you know, for them to apologize and fix it, you know. I was listening to the news, you know, we need to take actions like that, you know. They touch the same country, this country, in it, France. They touch one of the countries, they block their education system. They close one school. And they said they will not agree with any other school to be established. Okay, that's what the news says, you know, when they... And the president of that country, you know, they forgot while they are doing that. They have more business in the Muslim, in that Muslim country than what that country has with them. He closed 70-something educational centers which are all owned by them with immediate effect. SubhanAllah, in few minutes, they change their statement. They permit that school to be open again, and also to give them license to come back, you know, in the way they are. Yeah, they need Muslim to be a nowadays we become followers and tails, you know. That's why they do whatever they want, you know. They need somebody to tell them, to draw their attention, to tell them who they are. Qalili al-adab, you know, I'm telling you, they have no adab, no manners, you know. Why? Because we give them that, you know. So that's how all the Muslims leaders should be, you know. These are internal affairs and all of these things, and nobody should touch, you know, Muslim territory, you know, and go with it, you know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and show us the time whereby the strength will come back to Islam and the Muslims. Islam is the strongest thing, and it remains like this. But we are the one who will be in trouble. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us the time the strength will come back to the Muslims, you know, and our leaders, inshallah.
Question by Abdullah.
As-salamu alaykum, Shaykh. As-salamu
alaykum. Regarding Surah Al-Mulk, it's recited every night, is it?
Yeah. But a person should understand that this is based on all of these surahs that the Prophet also mentioned, you know. You read them and you try to put them into practice and action. Surah Al-Mulk will not benefit a person who doesn't use Surah Al-Mulk in his life. Allah grant us good. It's good to read it and also use it in your life. Yeah.
About Surah Al-Kahf, is it okay to recite it on Thursday nights, or it should be done on Friday night?
Yawm al-Juma. It's better to do to read it on the Yawm, the day, not at night. But if you miss it, you can read it any day, inshallah. And inshallah, you will get the reward, bi-idhnillah.
The day in this Shabbat starts from after Fajr?
Start from after Fajr, yeah. Until Maghrib time.
I think that's the last question, inshallah.
Okay, barakallahu feekum wa ahsana ilaykum fi dunya wal في الدنيا والآخرة ويحفظكم ويحميكم من جميع الأسقام والأوبئة إنه بكل جميل كفيل سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته